From the home of Walt Disney's original Magic Kingdom, you're listening to the Disneyland edition of the Diz Unplugged. Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Diz Unplugged Disneyland Roundtable discussion for March 17, 2011. From Northern California, I'm your host this week, Wayne Toigo. Joining me are my fellow Disneyland correspondents. From Central California, we have Tom Bell. And from Southern California, we have Nancy Johnson and Tony Spittel. This week, Nancy is reviewing the Paradise Pier Hotel at the Disneyland Resort, and Tony is going to cover counter service at Disneyland. Also, Tom will have a special review of the Disney Wonder Cruise to the West Coast Mexican Riviera. That plus news and rapid fire in this episode of the Diz Unplugged. Well, how's it going, team? Are we ready to close out the winter season and get into spring?
Yay!
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice weather out here. So
yeah, how was it this week?
Oh,
raining
sunny
up
sunny.
Here.
Nice.
It was nice down here.
It was warm where I was.
Yeah.
Okay, does anybody have any housekeeping this week?
I'll go real quick. If you by any chance ran the Disneyland Half Marathon or the 5K last year, the company that does the photos is going to be closing them out really, really super soon. So if you haven't bought them and want to, do it.
Excellent. Anyone else?
I got nothing.
In that case, take it away, Tom, with the news.
All right, just a couple quick stories this week. Critter Country reopened last week after being closed since late January. The Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, the Explorer Canoes, the Winnie the Pooh Meet and Greet, plus all the shops in Critter Country are now open. Splash Mountain remains closed until the end of May.
Do we have any information if the Hungry Bear is going to be updating their menu?
That's Tony's department.
Yes, I know, and I was going to ask you so I know whether I have to show up there quickly and find out. But
I certainly hope so.
If a menu gets updated, I will be there.
All right, next story. On Saturday, March 19th, Kim Irvine, art director for Disneyland, will be honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Themed Entertainment Association. In her 40 years with the company, Irvine has helped create themed trash cans that fit within the lands, renovated vending carts, worked on decorating Sleeping Beauty Castle for the 50th, and more recently helped choose the animals for the renovation of the Rivers of America. Tony Baxter, Vice President for Walt Disney Imagineering, said he nominated Irvine for the Lifetime Achievement Award because of her long commitment of keeping the vision of Walt Disney. Some award winners are recognized for one big project. Her job is to sustain Disneyland. Diz Unplugged senior correspondent David Parfit was able to chat with Irvine recently, and that interview should be going up this week along with this show. Also in the news,
due to the recent earthquake in Japan and the resulting tsunami, the Disney Wonder was unable to make its second stop in Cabo San Lucas on Friday, March 11th. At 7 a.m., Captain Thord made an announcement that all ports in Mexico were closed and that the Wonder stop in Cabo would be delayed. By 9 a.m., the stop had been canceled entirely, and the Wonder began its journey back to the port of Los Angeles.
That really had the West Coast jumping there for a while.
Yeah,
we really didn't know
yeah.
what was going on.
Now, I tell you, being as inland as I am, I wouldn't have even known there was a tsunami coming if it wasn't for the media and the weather reports. It was so bright and sunny here and just nothing.
They broke into this area and released the weather alert, the emergency broadcast alert, and I think the entire Bay Area was under watch. Nothing much happened, thank goodness.
No, I know we're going to do a full review later of the cruise, which, by the way, that's going to go up as a separate file. I just have to say that the crew on the Wonder was fabulous about the whole thing. They every hour on the hour, they were making announcements, giving updates. They did an addendum to the personal navigator, the schedule for the day, added activities, bingo, you know, movies and things like that just to keep people busy.
Did you notice any difference in terms of the actual ship moving?
It was a little rough coming back, but I don't know if that's just how it is going against the current. And also we were going slower than we normally would because we had extra time to get back.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Well, and can we say out there to everyone that our hearts go out to all the people that, you know, who were stranded at Disneyland Tokyo and all the people of Japan and how horrible this was for them.
Absolutely.
And that's the news.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Let's move on to our rapid-fire segment. Who wants to go first?
All right, I'll do it. Me.
In that case, I nominate Nancy.
Okay, my rapid fire, I'm going to take after my idol, Tony Spittel, and I'm going to go to TMZ for my news.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
I'd like that loop so I can, anytime my phone rings, it says, my idol, Tony Spittel.
Okay, there we go. Well, my story actually has to do with Jack Black, who has been the voice of many animated characters for many companies over the years, and who is a guy who's really into music and music education and supporting the arts. And he basically paid for the Tonkaset Washington Tigers to show up to travel to Disneyland to perform in a parade. They apparently won a competition to go, but they couldn't raise enough money at their school. And his mother just happens to live in Tonkaset, Washington. And so she told him about it, and he donated all the money, plus he showed up at Disneyland to cheer him on.
Wow.
Cool.
So awesome. How cool is that? And then they all had dinner with him afterwards.
That is great.
So it was like $10,000. So how cool is that? Anyway, that was my rapid fire.
Thanks, Nancy.
I'm going to go next. No, I can't go next.
Tony?
I want to go next.
Tony?
Well, I want to go next. I'm sorry. The reason
please,
I want to go next.
Go next.
Okay, please. And let me give you, there's a reason. Because she was talking about high school, so I figured mine matches high school, so I'm trying to keep the transition there. Of course, I interrupted you for it, so there goes the transition. But I'm going to go. Even though Disney recently announced that grad nights at Walt Disney World will be coming to an end, this is not the case for the Disneyland Resort here in California. Grad nights at Disneyland will continue as they have been an annual tradition for Southern California high school seniors since 1961.
Amazing.
So we're keeping them.
For now.
Love it.
Yeah,
love
exactly.
It. Love it. Well, I have a quick one. Several sources are now reporting that on Saturday, May the 7th, Disneyland is going to host a premiere party for the opening of Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. Clues are all over the Disney websites, including the closing time of the Disneyland Park, which is scheduled for 5 p.m. that day.
Wow.
Similar to the previous Pirates movie premiere, this party is again supposed to be set up at the Rivers of America area. I noted that the last scheduled showing of Fantasmic is on Sunday, April 24th, which gives the park about a week to set up the giant video screen that they set up on the edge of Tom Sawyer's Island, which is right on the Fantasmic stage. If this is similar to the last Pirates premiere party, Main Street would be transformed with a red carpet down the center and all the glitz and the glamour. I read about a Pirates of the Caribbean movie marathon at Disney's El Capitan Theater, but I couldn't find any information about it on that theater's website. They may have already sold it out or something may have changed. I'll continue to check for that. Additionally, I checked hotel room rates for the Disney Grand Californian for that weekend. Stand by. Currently, a stay for that Saturday night is being priced through Disney Travel at $875 for the single evening. Now, that is concierge level, but at this time, that's the only thing that's available.
What are the rates at Hotel Spittel for that weekend?
You know what? We're actually going to raise the rates, too. There are some celebrities. They're going to come near the house, and we're working with their people to see if we can work out a deal and get a good rate. So, yeah.
I would love to go to this event. It's probably going to be a madhouse.
Now, you said May 7th. That's earlier than the previous rumors.
Correct. I've read several reports now that are indicating the 7th, and Disneyland has it on their hours calendar website that the park is going to close at 5.
Wow.
So, May 7th.
That sounds like a good guesstimation.
And if you're coming out May 7th, don't be disappointed.
You may want to reconsider if you're just in for a regular visit, because I wouldn't be surprised if several attractions around the Frontierland area are going to be either closed all day or closed early. Tom.
Yes.
Rapid fire?
Oh, my turn. Okay. Oh,
I'm going to go. Just kidding.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. D23 members and their guests are invited to enjoy a day of shopping, signing, and trading at the famed Walt Disney Imagineering store, Mickey's of Glendale, on April 16th, starting at 8 a.m. Mickey's of Glendale is located on the Walt Disney Imagineering campus, located at 1401 Flower Street in Glendale.
Really fun store.
You went to another one of those, didn't you, Tom?
I did. This is, I think, the third or fourth time they've done this. So
would you give advice on lines?
Yeah, get there early. Definitely. We got there, I think, about an hour in advance. You have to park on the street. And also, the line inside the store tends to get long. So if you're with somebody else, get in line early and take turns shopping the store.
And make sure your credit card has a higher limit than you originally.
Yeah. Give the bank a call and give them a warning.
Give us that day again, Tom.
That's April 16th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Which is what day of the week?
Saturday.
Very good. Very good. Thanks, everyone. Now let's go to Nancy for her report on Paradise Pier.
Okay. As you guys know, the Paradise Pier Hotel did not used to be a hotel owned by Disney. It was actually originally the Pan Pacific, and then it was owned by somebody else. And then finally, Disney bought it when they built California Adventure and themed it to be the Paradise Pier Hotel. So the hotel itself has kind of a nautical theme going on, kind of a beachy, palmy sort of thing. We decided to do something different. We had 6 people, and as you know, most Disney hotel rooms don't sleep 6. They sleep only like 4. So we thought, why not spring for a little more and get a 1-bedroom suite at the Paradise Pier? And a lot of people don't know that they offer different levels of rooms like that. And this one was really nice. It had, when you walked in, it had a full big living room with a dinette set and a corner pit group sofa and a really large armoire. And then it had a master bedroom with an ultra-huge armoire and 2 queen-size beds. And then the bonus in this room was a full bath with shower and tub, which was even more humongous, and a really, really big half bath with a shower. It was kind of nice. We actually all got to spread out. We had 4 adults and 2 little kids. And the room was, the decor was nice. It was minimal, beachy, nautical. But the colors were crisp. The rooms are incredibly bright. They have these big, giant windows. And we actually had one that overlooked the Ferris wheel in Paradise Pier, the Paradise Pier section of the park. So we could, if we had been up a little bit higher, maybe seen World of Color from our room. But we were down on like the 4th or 5th floor or something like that, so we couldn't really see. As the room goes, let's talk about odd design. I know it was somebody else's hotel, so Disney had to come along and kind of make it theirs. But there's no big giant closet in the master bedroom.
What do they do?
They instead build a little small closet in the remember how I said it was a really big armoire? They build a little small closet in that. And that has to hang like your suits or whatever. And then it also has the safe is in there, and then a little tiny ironing board and an iron. Now, the other reason these armoires are so big is they're the old-fashioned kind, so they actually do not have flat-screen TVs in these rooms. So not the most technically, advanced rooms, but like I said, really big, really bright. Now, if you're bringing really nice clothes, there is a hall closet, and that's where your pack-and-play is stored, as well as the extra bedding for the sofa bed, which was a queen-size sofa bed.
That's a surprise. A queen-size sofa bed. Sorry, I'm easily surprised. But no, a queen-size sofa bed, normally they don't have queen-size sofa beds, right?
Right, no, it's usually like a double.
Okay, cool.
At least the DVC ones are a double. Because we were kind of interested in being DVC members for a long time. And we thought it would be really fun to compare these two kinds of rooms. Because they're both not cheap. And like I said, it was kind of neat. And I liked how the bed pulled out alongside the branch of the pit group. So if you have a little one, they won't, you can put them towards the sofa and they won't roll off and fall on the floor. They'll roll onto the sofa.
That's actually something that's important for when you have kids that age.
Yeah, and I actually found it, the other shocking thing was I actually found it fairly comfortable, and because I had to go sleep with the kids for a little bit because they were getting kind of fussy in the middle of the night.
And when you rolled off, you rolled off onto the couch, so it was good.
Actually, more like the floor, but, you know, that's what mom gets. You know how that is. And these, the beds here, going back to the master bedroom, you know how the Disneyland Hotel beds and the Grand Californian beds are really tall?
Yes.
These are two.
I need a boost to get up to them.
Oh, my God. When I was pregnant with Lily, I had to pull the ottoman over and, like, climb up on the ottoman in order to get up onto the bed.
You know, some of us have never had the opportunity to stay at the Disneyland Hotel. So, you know,
rooms available. Contact your travel agent for availability.
Yes, but I live 15 minutes away. I'd still stay there, but we have a family budget that I have to consider. So go ahead and discuss. I won't pay attention.
No. It's okay. Now, one of the things that they had offered us when we checked into the room was the chance to upgrade for an extra, I think, $100 to upgrade to concierge, which I thought was really interesting that it was just that cheap to add on the concierge level. And while I was making my decision, because I wasn't sure if I wanted to spend the money or not, they actually let me go up and tour the lounge, which is actually really nice. Now, Tony, you've stayed in the concierge. You've stayed in the
concierge. Now, don't feel sorry for me. Actually, for my son's birthday, because my wife and I, being Disney fans and not wanting to throw a party, we kind of talked them into, what if we stayed at one of the Disney hotels and we stayed in the special concierge, especially when it was a weekday and it was a lot in the summer, and it was relatively inexpensive, like $170 for a concierge. So we did it because it was, you know, off. It was like middle June. That's when his birthday is, on like a Tuesday or Wednesday. And we did it just to do it. And, I liked it. Of course, I went there trying to actually eat. Could we not spend money on food and just eat everything there? And I can tell you, chips and cheese for dinner, as cool as that sounded for my what, 8-year-old son and I, like, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. Potato chips and cheese. I did need some real food. But no, I actually really liked the concierge level. It was nice that you could always walk down and get something, and it was really nice and comfortable. And considering when we went, our room wasn't ready, it was nice to be able to stay there while you were waiting.
I like the artwork and the shape of the concierge room. I wasn't impressed with the size of their little concierge buffet, though.
No, I wasn't either, but I didn't have anything to compare it to, just dreams of what they do at Disney World and the Disneyland Hotel. But I'm surprised, it kind of goes with what you said, that they don't really charge that much more for it.
Right.
Are the rooms themselves the same between the concierge and the regular rooms?
For ours, we got one with a sliding glass door to the pool because that's what he wanted. And so we got a little bit better of room in terms of location, but the room was exactly the same because I had stayed there once before. Okay, I guess as I'm complaining about the Disneyland Hotel, I stayed at the cheap one. So I've stayed at Paradise Pier before with my son. It was the same room. It was just had doors out to the pool.
So yeah, neither of these rooms.
They basically were offering the concierge upgrade to every guest.
So neither of these rooms are kitchen rooms per se.
No, we did not. We had a refrigerator because every room in every Disneyland hotel has a refrigerator. It's a small refrigerator, but it's still a refrigerator. But and it was, you know, it was good enough to put a quart of milk on the side of the door and, you know, snacks and stuff for the kids and all that, leftovers from the restaurant. But yeah, I didn't look for it to be a kitchenette room like at the Grand Californian in the Disney Vacation Club villas. I wasn't looking for it to have a microwave. Now these rooms, they're just not that cheap. when we stayed, the rack rate on these rooms was like $750, which means you could probably get two premium view refurbished rooms at the Disneyland Hotel for the same price, you know, that are connecting.
That would be my choice.
Which would probably be my choice, too. But, like I said, we wanted to try something different, and, you know, they price differently in each season. We were there at a little more of a peaker time when it was a little more crowded in the parks and everything, so that could have and it was a weekend night, too. So maybe if you're going for the week, you know, sometime during the week, maybe you only have one or two nights before you're moving on to another destination, or you're in for a convention or something like that, this might be good. But if you're looking for an option for a family, a larger family, and you really want to all be in the same room as opposed to having connecting rooms, like having to monitor two small children, this might be a choice for you.
Excellent. Thanks, Nancy. Next up is Tony with more on Disneyland counter service.
Okay, well, as many people know, I do my dining review I called it a culinary quest when I started it about a year and a half ago, because the idea was I'm going to try a different restaurant at the Disneyland Resort each time I go. Because as my wife and I talked, we kind of always went to the same four places. And so as we've been doing these reviews and liking things and not liking things, this last one I did, which we'll eventually discuss later, at Riverbell, I've got a thesis now. I think I have enough support for my thesis, being a teacher. I can honestly say that Disneyland counter service meals and their food have improved, and they've improved a lot. And I didn't expect to see that, because if anybody heard one of the first podcasts, I think maybe the first one when we talked to Pete, when we first got chosen, I even said, don't eat at Disneyland. And I've changed my mind. So what was happening is my wife and I were walking out, and we kind of looked at each other. We said, you know, that was pretty good. That was better than I thought. Yeah, I wasn't expecting much either. And we started then going back through each restaurant we'd gone to. We said, you know what, we like that there. We like that here. We like that here. And I don't think I would have been able to come up with this idea that their food is getting better if I had been always going to the same four places. Because before, we'd always go to Pizza Port when my son was like 4 and 5, Hungry Bear, Rancho Del Zocalo, and Plaza Inn. And that was it. We'd always go to the same places. And one of the first places where there was an updated menu was Nancy, when we went to Harbor Galley, and we had that salad. And there's that fresh dress. I'm like, oh, this is good. Okay, it's a one-time shot, whatever. And then one of the next few places we went to was, my wife and I, was Troubadour Tavern with the baked potatoes, which I thought were really good, and they were different.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah. And then Tomorrowland Terrace updated their menu. They again had a new salad, more fresh ingredients, a homemade dressing, again, tasty. My wife also had the mahi wrap at that time, and she said it was good, and she's willing to say if something's bad or not. Then, of course, Village House with their revamped menu, which I thought was much better than it was before. And then we went to Riverbell, and I was surprised at the quality of the food. So basically, to sum up my essay, I think that Disneyland counter service is getting better, and I won't tell people now, don't go eat Disneyland counter service. And I see a trend, and I don't think I would have seen it if I would have stayed with the same few places. So one of the other conclusions about this whole thing is to make sure everybody tries different places and give places a second chance. But all in all, I think I see a trend of improvement with their counter service. Yeah, it's expensive. It's Disneyland. If you take away that price, the whole price structure of Disneyland, I think their counter service is getting a lot better, and I'm happy to report that, because I didn't expect to say that when I started doing this about a year and a half ago, specifically focusing on food.
Don't you find that, in as with most places like this, that there are good things on the menu and not so good things on the menu, and a lot of the times the most popular items tend to be the bad things? It's the less known items that tend to be the great things.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, especially just the restaurants. That restaurants I would have never gone to, because I always went to this was good, I know what I'm getting, I'm going to be safe, and just keep going here. And I kind of agree, you don't, and the fact that I was kind of forced myself to venture out, I kind of found, Nancy, some hidden gems.
Yep.
But I also think that as the menus have changed, they've improved too.
I'm with you on Riverbell. Riverbell definitely went through a downturn, and recently they've improved their menu, put some specialty items on there, and I think they're wonderful again.
That's another good tease, because I'll talk about that next time, the Riverbell review.
Nice. Excellent.
Yes,
well,
but no, all in all, I think, because I would never eat counter service. Oh, let's go outside of the park. And now I won't say that. And I'm telling people I know, hey, you need to try this place. You need to try this place. And I, like I said, I know I'm repeating myself, but I would have never thought 18 months ago that I would have said that. And you can see as there, every new menu that I've experienced has been better than it was before. And it's not just been a parallel change. It's actually an improvement where I'm, oh, you know what? That would sound good. Of course, I can't eat at those places because I promised to eat at a different place each time. But once I stop doing that, I'm going to go. There's new places that I would definitely go back to.
So as it stands right now, what's your favorite counter service?
You know, I got to go back. The new Village House was really, I really liked it. I liked almost everything about it, except for the pastrami burger. But the baked potato. See, you can't. I'm going to be.
See, and my husband agreed with you that the burgers were still burgers.
Yeah, the burgers are still burgers.
The salad was really good. So, yeah.
No, you know what? Okay, but I don't want to give away the Riverbell. It might be Riverbell. And we'll find out why next week.
Okay, looking forward to that.
Now, Tony, didn't Tomorrowland Terrace just go through a big refurbishment? Did they change the menu at all? Do you know?
Yes, they did. And I've tried some of their things, and that was when I wasn't being as productive of a podcast.
The wife wasn't with you?
No, she was with me. And so when we all went and ate, and I even have pictures, and I've forgotten what it was, so I might have to go back there again. But it was better than it was before.
Okay. I was going to say, we haven't eaten there in a long time.
And you know what I've done? At each place, one of the things that's been one of the best things has been the salads. Their salads are good. I know it sounds like question mark, they're good, but no, their salads aren't just, you know, the lettuce and they're fresh ingredients, new ingredients. Interesting ingredients, fresh dressings. I've been very impressed with their salads.
And that's always been my favorite thing about the Red Rockets Pizza Port is the fact that they had all of those great salads. That was the first place I started noticing Disneyland salads.
Well, it's on my list of to-dos.
All righty, excellent. Thanks, Tony. Well, thanks, everyone. That will do it for this edition of the Diz Unplugged Disneyland Edition. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again next time.